Thank you very much. I just want to say thanks to Paul and Sam and everyone at OVL and First Fortnight for having us do the guest reading for this session. I watched actually the OVL as some of the winter warmer ones. They were brilliant. So if you haven't checked them out, definitely do. And I was really glad that we were doing the First Fortnight bit because, as I say, I'm a mental health advocate, and I did First Fortnight in 2013, so it was really nice to be linked with that again, especially because COVID and lockdown has been so hard on people's mental health. So I'm going to read firstly. My poems are kind of story poems, so I kind of don't introduce them a lot first. But if I need to say something about them, I will. The first set is a little suite of micro poems. I write a lot of micro poems. And these are a little set from the book. So it's called While I Remember. One, when you become smaller than birth, there is much less to pick on. Two, the epicenter of the divorce. I was their shrapnel. Three, children who pecked at me as men became friends of my father, the bartender. Four, gooseberry jam is granny in a jar. When I need faith, I open the lid, breathe her in. The second poem is quite a short poem as well, and they kind of get a bit longer as they go along. This one is called Venus in My Living Room. I was wearing the creativity bracelet you bought me the night that Venus and Mars were visible alongside the moon, and a girl wanted to sing Strange Fruit to the president-elect. The same night, a butterfly came into our living room, and a single speck of glitter was caught hanging on the tail of a cobweb, twirling, visible and wondrous. I think that was kind of a reaction to when Trump got into office. Everything seemed big and it was better to focus on things in your own life. This next poem is called Surviving the Sea. And I don't know if anyone remembers the story, but Matthew Bryce was a surfer stranded for 32 hours before he was rescued from the sea. He was stuck between Northern Ireland and Scotland. It was a very interesting story of his. Surviving the sea. Rare west wind blows coast to sea while I re-wax board. Stretch limbs, climb into wetsuit, crash right into classic combers rolling in on the Atlantic Sea. No rip current, in fact, no current to speak of. It's the wind carrying my pleading voice away from last jot of land, from lighthouse, from all forms of rescue. For 32 hours, waves were my only earworm, vying for attention as my mind scorched. Get me out of the sea, the bone-grinding pervasive seeped in cold of the sea. No one knows the levels of dark that comes when the sea tries to eat you at night. Black moonless sky, black land encircling, black endless bed of ocean. A single speck, yellow surfboard no better than a canary in a mine. Blue fly set it aglow in the darkest hour. Buff of wind, splash of mist, paddling to preserve body heat. If I close my eyes, I will drown. A seagull helicopters overhead. I dream of being found. Oh, thank you. This one is called Tree Tunnel. We walked mid-road under the tunnel of trees. Huge trunks branched above us, their leaves, feather boas floating about their necks, sheltered us for a moment, only a moment, in a split second through the arc of recess where the sun had warmed to our skin, came sheeting rain, energetic beads with bellies full, readily dropping their payload. We did not twist in circles with arms flung wide and heads thrown back, catching rain with our open mouths. After 20 minutes and two car passings, we were drenched. Chills crept over our bodies. We stopped, sought sanctuary along the verge. You mimicking the tree trunks, providing as much shelter as your frame would allow. Curling in on me, latent against your chest. Chin resting on porous hair. Elemental, I attuned to the call of your heart rate, your skin. When a car pulled over, sweeping us away from the summer downpour. I've taken to writing some high buns. So this is a high bun. It's called Bikini Brights. Habitual. I have sat here in this very spot many times, yet have never noticed your living, your growing, your coming into yourself. Today, honey, you shocked me with the vibrancy of your flowering, fluorescent apricot, bikini bright, attracting much attention from the bees, suckling your twining vines, taking life from you. I admire your giving. As soon I will be here again and you will be long gone, no more than a pungent memory. Summer raises an army of dead beauties. Making eggs. Omelets for breakfast. As I turn to agree, you are already breaking eggs into a bowl, the most natural thing in the world. Trusting your hand to separate yolk from white. Balance, you say, is important. Two on one. I'm 10 years old, standing at the cooker with her, her red hair flaming in Saturday sunlight. We are making omelets as we always do. Eggs, ham, mushroom, cheese, tomatoes on her side only. 3 summers from then, she will leave me without warning, and I will stop knowing how to break eggs. Your voice pulls me back to our kitchen, our life. I have loved relearning with you. It's probably as close as I get to writing a love poem. Poor Colin, he never gets a love poem. When lockdown happened, my two initial thoughts were about the mental health of people stuck at home. And I did a thing on Facebook where I did a gratitude post every day and asked people to join in. And I did that for the first 100 days. And I think it helped me, but it helped other people as well. And the second thing I thought about was domestic violence. So there's a slight trigger warning for this probably. It's called Hitting to Hurt. Everybody saw us as the bull and the lamb. This is how I hid for so long. He was a chunk of a man. I sliced him to bits with my words, buried him with shame. I'm sorry for using such callous language. I'll try to rein myself in. Let's just start again. The first time my hands rose, it felt like they belonged to someone else. Afterwards, I wished so hard that they did. It's not like it was commonplace, but the second and third time, I knew the fists were mine and I kept on using them. He stood there as I threatened to leave him if he didn't fight back, or if he did, I'd go anyway. Soon I was saving all my energy and hitting to hurt. Once I drew blood, no longer saw him as bull, husband, or human being. Then I knew I needed help. Am I okay for time?
11 minutes.
Okay, to go?
Oh, no. Okay.
Sorry, just checking the time there. Definitions. Perched on a hospital bed opposite a doctor, resting easy in the high back visitor's chair. He hands you a clipboard and paper, having drawn a simple square, asking, "Can you copy this shape for me, please?" You contemplate the pen he gives you like it was just plucked from the back of a crow. You had always beautiful handwriting. I tried often, but could not mimic its soft cadence. Concentration lines take shape on your face as you try to comprehend how you might make the pen move on the paper. Eventually, you mark the page with a barely perceptible squiggle, present it back to the doctor with a triumphant confusion, unsure if what you've done is correct, but the relief of your shoulders from having produced something defines the moment. I want to enfold you in an embrace, transfuse back into you all the knowledge you poured into me from my very first breath. But you haven't finished giving, so I meet your eye, smile, and proclaim, "Well done." Lockdown also has been very hard on people with living with dementia. I work for the Alzheimer's Society, and that poem's kind of a personal dementia poem. Well, I think I'm going to run out of time, so I'm going to skip
seven
a couple
minutes,
of poems.
Seven,
oh, 7 minutes. Yeah. Right. This is called The Swimmer. It is one of those days where all the pens are laying nibs out and the dough has not doubled as it should have for onion bread, when news of you, the swimmer, comes in. I look for words to describe, timid, soft, light, but you are none of these. I saw you as a lenticular print. At first glance, 1/7 Spanish angel, abundant with grace, a spunky sparkle pooled in hazel eyes. Then a strong oak, rooted firmly in your Irish identity, but ready to soak into your canvas all colours of life, reflected back through your own hands. You, the pause between breaths, the strength in silence. Desert Storm. The humming called me to the living room, where I found her knitting with the radio on. As I got closer, the sound pitched to keening sobs. My 8-year-old self believed she was crying because the singer sang of the good times she'd had in that old 57 Chevrolet, while our new car sat in a scrapyard. The drunk driver cut it in two with us inside 8 weeks previous. In the countryside, a single mother without a car becomes a landlocked desert. She must wait for the dust storm to settle, see if she can work, provide food and a home. I hugged her side on as not to hurt her broken ribs.
Right.
Well, I've got 5 minutes. Okay. I think I've got time for both poems. It is in giving that we receive. 1985. My maternal grandmother throws holy water at the TV. A prayer so God will help Dennis Taylor become world snooker champion. Her 12 children must have been leading a novena so the television didn't blow up. I prayed daily for my family that they'd be gifted a good day, that they'd live through the night. I prayed to God for things I wanted, things I shouldn't have. Answered prayers have consequences, like accidental fires and having to live temporarily with your father. 1996. I'm 15, being introduced to my first boyfriend's parents. By way of greeting, I'm handed a pair of rosary beads, told I will be giving out a decade. First sorrowful mystery, the agony in the garden is familiar to me as nobody puts baby in the corner. Once, St. Padre Pio appeared on the ceiling of Ardbo Chapel. It was midnight mass. I was tired, just gone through the communion ritual. I took his blessing into my heart center. 2012. I asked people, are they okay regularly? Get an ache when they say events have floored them. I tell people they look good in red, yellow, blue. Their eyes look lovely when the light shines from them. They chose the best words, spoke clearly from the heart, moved me, gave me chills. 2019, when I can, I hug with consent, meet eyes, end messages with kisses. I breathe and let go, laugh long with giddiness, grateful for people in my life. I support them to take a moment to breathe. Telling someone they are amazing is the best kind of prayer. It is in giving that we receive. Thank you. And this is the last poem. I think we've been thinking a lot about the environmental impact during COVID. So this is called Cleaning the Winds, and it's another high one. How do we go back without losing what we have gained? Is there a way to make things as simple as it is recorded in every reminiscence? Recently, I heard tell of wasp stings giving enough antiseptic to heal a small wound, cow dung preventing a burn from blistering, tea kept away from pesticides that will consume any ailment. But what about the world? How do we cleanse our dying world's wounds without losing our minds? Flogged, exhausted, flayed and exhumed, when will she give? Thank you very much.